Assess Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. It's Wednesday. Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. I looked down at the sheet. It was my bad. We have a good show today. I do know that. I'll get that right. Amin El-Hassan will be with us from ESPN, their NBA front office insider. I'm not going to sit here and do the typical the Suns stink interview. You guys have heard that stuff enough. I try to find solutions. He's also an invited guest, so I don't want to sit here and just go through the same old, hey, boy, by the way, the Suns blew this. But by the way, did you see Isaiah Thomas is going to the All-Star game? Just like, come on. He can't continue like this. So we're going to talk about the coaching search for the Suns and some of the names that are out there and where they are with the assets that they have to trade other than Devin Booker. I'm fine with them trading everybody. I'm fine with them losing. They're going to lose tonight to Golden State, other than Golden State played last night. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if tonight the Warriors announced at the last minute Steph Curry was out because of this or that, or, you know, Steve Kerr does have the Popovich line in him. And you got to rest, guys. And I watched the Warriors last night. Eric, did you see some of Golden State?
I did not. I mean, I've seen them, but I did not see them.
Man, I'm watching them in the first quarter last night. It's so entertaining. It is so entertaining. It's the best show. And you look at them and say, this is what the Suns used to be. And they have all these guys from the Suns up there. We've gone through that. And the Suns had the Steph Curry deal done for Amari. And oh my gosh, he's making passes last night, not just shooting. He's making passes last night. He made James Harden look silly a few times last night defensively. And I know that's not the most difficult thing to do. James is not known for his defense. But gosh, it was great basketball. And everybody's involved, and the energy is high, and Kevin Harlan's doing the game. We love having Kevin on the show, and he's just marveling at how great the game is played by this team here in Golden State, and it's everything that's right about the NBA. Touch pass, touch pass, touch pass, lead bounce pass. It's like watching Magic back in the day where he'd get the ball at three-quarters court and do the bounce pass, curried it to Thompson, and he's stuffing it down. It's so much fun. And so the Warriors are here tonight. It's the defending NBA champs. Our team stinks here in town. I want my team to lose here in town. They're your team because they're your Suns. They're my team simply because this is the city I live in. But I want them to keep losing so they get the top pick or two or three. Okay? I don't want the same old nonsense. So with Amin, he's part of the Suns, and look forward to visiting with him on a bunch of things around this roster. And then Tom Candiotti is going to be with us. And I love talking to Tom. I was with Tom and the guys over at Santan Ford last month at the Cardinals, Big Red Rage, the biggest Red Rage. And Tom and I sat at a table for almost 3 hours and did nothing but talk stuff, kids, baseball, sports. I'm telling stories. He's telling stories. Great stories. Some you can tell on the air. Some you can't. It's just how it is. You guys know. But we have a baseball team that won 79 games a year ago. Pitchers and catchers report next week, a week from tomorrow. And the Diamondbacks have done a bunch of interesting things. So I want to have Tom on the air. So Eric delivered. Amin and Tom Candiotti. I'll take that. What's going on really in sports tonight is the Coyotes are in action tonight and the Suns are in action tonight here in town. I could do Cam Newton for another 8 to 10 minutes just to analyze what he said about what he said and how he said it and when he said it and if the context was there. You want me to go down that path again now that he said what he said?
No, I'm on Cam Newton overload.
And how he said it and when he said it and if he said it and... You know,
they huddled, like I told you they should have done before he went out for his press conference right after the game.
Yeah.
Clearly, they huddled.
So you're talking about it.
I am. But I mean, you want to talk. It's your show. I just go along with
show.
The flow. So it's not the Eric Sorensen show. It's
you know, I'd rather talk about what Trump did last night, because at some point, guys, look, we're all doing the sports thing, but all of us as Americans have to vote next November. And like for the first time, I'm driving in today thinking to myself, Donald Trump actually has the lead on one side of the party to be the president of our country.
Yeah, you and I watch the Today Show pretty frequently. Now the Today Show is just all on the presidential race. Like, the whole first hour, mostly, is just on the presidential race.
Well, it's not even just one show. It's just, it hits me like, okay, we're going to do the sports thing, and we'll do it well, and we can do political. We've had Senator McCain on. We'll, you know, I want to get some other guys on around town, because I'm working on a big story about all the buildings that are going on and all the teams and how there is going to be movement with all the teams. There's going to be some stuff coming up here in town. We're still a town, by the way. I can say we're a big city. We're not. There's like 10 people you really need to know in this town, in my view. And I don't know any of them, or very few of them, but I know enough. But there's going to be some big movement going on in this town that's going to involve our politicians and involve our sports teams. And it's going to involve every last one of them except the Cardinals for now. It's going to involve every one of them. It's actually going to involve the U of A as a university and ASU as a university over the same parcel of land, which would be a game changer for their respective universities. It's going to involve Gamage being involved in sports. It's going to involve so many things politically. So there's going to be more political people coming on the show, because I'm going to really sink my teeth into it. It's something I'm passionate about, and it's going to be great for us when it's all said and done, in my view. It's going to involve the Far East Valley, it's going to involve the 101 and the 202 and that area around the Cubs, across the street from the Cubs. You used to go to that drive-in over at Scottsdale, Eric? You know that drive-in that's over there?
Yep.
I went there a few times.
It's not there anymore, correct?
It's there.
It's there, but it's functioning.
Closed. Yeah, it's closed. But it's going to involve sports. It's going to involve...
That would make sense. When freeways intersect with freeways, that's a good place to put big venues.
Yeah. It's going to involve Phoenix Greyhound Park. It's going to involve Talking Stick. It's going to involve a lot of things. And so just so you know, it's something I've been working on for a while. I'm pretty passionate about it. Let's see.
So are you on the same mindset as I with the Suns? Just on a big picture
I'd rather
view?
Talk about Trump, but if you want to go
I want
Suns,
to circle back just real quick on this, and then you can talk about Trump.
You know, Hillary lost last night.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. I've been following it a little bit closer now, but I still have no clue who I'm going to vote for. I got time. It's early. But anyway, the Suns, are we under the same – in the same mindset of we're fine if the Suns lose. We just want them to show improvement and get
– No.
Okay.
No, we just want them to lose. We don't want – there's no such thing as moral victories.
But you want to showcase guys with the trade deadline.
Well,
the
trade
up.
Deadline's next
week. I mean,
week.
They might actually be able to get something for Markieff Morris if he keeps putting up these 20-point games. Maybe.
Yeah, it's stunning how Jeff leaves and he puts up 20-point games. Just shocking how that happens.
You know what? I had no problem with the head coach.
Stunning.
We were good. I had
stunning.
No problem.
Right.
There were no issues.
Right. I've shoveled that stuff before. I've got to put on my hip waders. Get out of here, you know.
But like we've talked about, I mean, the Suns, if they want to try to get one of these top two picks, they need to keep losing. Like, they just need to keep – I know they haven't won a game in, what, 8 or 9 straight, but they need to lose more than they're losing right now.
They win when they lose.
Correct.
So, like, the Suns – remember we used to do all sorts of goofy stuff back in the day around Suns? We did a sock drive for Elliot Perry, and we had fans wear their socks up high. We made up these T-shirts that had pennies on them. That 5 pennies, we handed them out to fans. This is when, you know, we had a sign painting contest for kids coming down into the Suns locker room. Stuff that you would look at nowadays and say, well, that's kind of hokey. Well, no, it's actually kind of cool if you're a 7-year-old and you're invited down with your mom and your dad, or single mom or single dad, and you're being allowed in the Suns locker room to paint a sign to hang on Charles Barkley's locker. Those are the types of things I used to do. We used to do all sorts of stuff like that. It's hard to pull off, and after a while, it's like, okay, we've done it. Yeah, we've collected turkeys for 20 years. I'll collect turkeys again maybe at some point in time, but let everybody else collect turkeys for the last 10 years because everybody wants to do it and say, look at me and how great I am because I collected turkeys, and that's not what it's about. The best kind of charity is a charity you don't know goes on. So on the Suns' end, if they put a shirt on every last seat on the building that says it pays to lose to win, or lose to win, lose to win and have like some ping pong balls on it. Some t-shirt guy out there, some website out there, some hashtag out there should be adapting to my thought process, which is very straightforward. Lose to win. You're not playing to lose, but you are so bad that the more that you lose, the more it gets into your psyche, the more that you know that you're going to get your head kicked in. Yeah, it feels bad in 2016, but the problem is we've sat here since 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. It's gotten us nowhere other than we're no closer to winning and we keep losing. We win just enough so that we get 20, 25 wins. Go aim very low. Aim for, what are they at right now, Eric? Are they at 12 wins, 15 wins?
Stand by, checking.
12 wins, 15 wins, or something like that. Really, it's inexcusable for them to get to 20 wins. There's really no reason for them to get to 20 wins. It's not going to improve their TV ratings. It's not going to improve their attendance.
The Suns are 14-39.
Yeah, they should get to... If they get to 16 wins, 17 wins, that's almost out of reach with Philadelphia. Philadelphia is at 9 wins. The thing there with Philadelphia is they're in a different space.
8 wins.
Yeah, Philly's at 8. Okay, so... And the Suns, you said, are at 14?
14.
14, okay. So there's...
But the Lakers have 11 wins, and the Nets have 14 wins. Okay. So the Suns have some work to do.
But the Suns, the Nets won a game the other night. Prokhorov, their owner, was jumping up and down and celebrating. It's fine. They still have a game with the Lakers. It's Kobe's last game here. Lose that. Make Kobe feel good. They can't play Philadelphia anymore, and Philadelphia already swept them. 2 of the 8 wins by the 76ers are your Suns. It can't get any better than that. Look, it is what it is. I hate that line, but it is what it is. Embrace your lack of success. Embrace the moment. You stink. Keep losing. Fans should be thrilled with what's going on. And if it gets to a point where they get to 17 or 18 wins, then Earl Watson needs to go. You know, bring in somebody else who can coach them down. He's doing too good of a job. There's no reason why they should win tonight. It's like the other night with Oklahoma City. It was one of those typical NBA games where the Thunder out big early, stomping them. Thunder come back or let the Suns back in because they take Durant out. The Suns show a couple of flashes. The game's close, and then you look up and they're up by 25 late. That's what should happen tonight. So, Tom Candiotti in about 15 minutes. Amin El-Hassan will join us on the other side. So I want to talk to Amin about and have a real straight discussion because I've just pounded away on them and I get tired of doing that. It's easy. It's too easy. Just too easy doing it this way. About fix this. If he is in charge, who does he keep? Who are the coaches he'd be looking at? Because now that the Knicks job is open, the Lakers job is open. I want to talk to him about Eric Bledsoe too and his knee situation. That's all next.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So Eric and I were talking about let's do something around the Suns, even though all I've done for the last year is just pounded and pounded and bashed. And when we have these guests on, guests are people that you invite into your house. So when you invite them into your house, you want to serve them a good meal. Unfortunately, when I have these guests on around the Suns, around the NBA, all I do is sit here and bitch and moan and whine about Markieff Morris and trading Isaiah Thomas, who's going to the All-Star game. And I'm going to take a different tact, I'm hoping, here today with Amin El-Hassan from ESPN's NBA Front Office Insider. Amin has been with us before. He actually was with the Suns at one point in time. Are you fine with me going a different direction than just ripping them apart in this segment? Are you okay with that, Amin? Just making sure.
I was actually here for the ripping apart.
Well, we can do that. It's not hard. It's low-hanging fruit, right?
Hey, you know what? If there's an escalator, there's stairs. Why are we taking the stairs, man? Let's take this escalator.
It can't get any worse, though, or could it? Could it get worse than what we are seeing here?
Ooh. No. Yes, it could get worse. It could get worse if they brought back the prior general manager. That's one way to make it worse.
That's true.
But beyond that, no, as far as this current incarnation, I don't think you can get much worse. It is, in fact, rock bottom. But the good news is, unlike the former general manager, there's actually assets in the cupboard. They have cap flexibility. They have draft picks, a healthy stable of incoming draft picks. And so while this season is lost and while the organization feels directionless, it's not, theoretically at least, it's not that far off from getting turned around.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, all right, what are the Suns? The Suns need roster clarity, right? This, a roster that fits together and guys that enjoy playing with one another. All right. Do they have bad players? No. You know, P.J. Tucker, Marquise Morris, even a guy like John Lohr. If you're another team, those guys are attractive players. They, oh, I could use a guy like that. So you, when you're talking about, okay, how do we change the roster around? It's not like you've got a bunch of bad contracts and bad dudes that nobody wants. These are good players. And that's a start, right? That's a start in that if you're trying to turn something around roster-wise, you want things that are attractive to other teams, and the Suns have that. And then the next thing is you need a new coach, and then finally you need actually a star, right? That's the big one. But again, we've just established it. They have, at least in theory on paper, the pieces to make something like that happen. The problem that comes when the franchise doesn't have, and when I say franchise, I'm loosely, there's a euphemism for the owner.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the patience to let the process play out. So if you look at a team like Boston, they traded Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce in 2013. They basically drafted 2013. Scrub it to the end. This team is restarting. Went out, you know, they lost Doc Rivers, went out and got Brad Stevens and said, Brad, here's a 6-year deal. We believe in you as a coach. We know they're going to be growing pains. Have at it. And what have we seen with the Boston Celtics? They've accumulated assets. They've kept bringing in players that fit the way they play. And Brad Stevens has gotten better as a coach as we're going on. And now Celtics are still technically in the same boat as the Suns. I have a bunch of stuff, and I want to cash it in for a star. But the difference is they had a plan. They stuck with their plan. And now they're a playoff team. They're a competitive team. They're a team that the best teams in the league have issues with. The Warriors needed overtime to beat the Celtics. You know, the Cavs lost a game at the end of a game, pretty much, to the Celtics about a week ago. So what we're seeing here is the Celtics are saying, yeah, we're not there yet. But in the meanwhile, we've got something good going on.
Well, they also could come in. They also came in here and fleeced the Suns away from an all-star guard, right? And Isaiah Thomas. I mean, would you make that deal, the Brandon Knight thing? Would you make that deal all over again, the get rid of Gore and get rid of Isaiah, and we end up with Brandon Knight? He's a front office guy.
No, as a front office guy, my thing from the beginning was Isaiah Thomas is a fine player. But you can't add Isaiah Thomas to Eric Bledsoe and Gore Dragic. You're
right.
Kidding yourself.
Right.
You are kidding yourself if you think this is a good mix. And you can make any sort of rationalization, oh, well, we needed a third guard and they should be able to play. No. You know that what this league is about, and guys that like the ball in their hands don't like spending a majority of the time with the ball not in their hands. So you have to be able to pick. It's not fantasy basketball where you can just add guys and then, you know, their stats just add up and you keep winning your week to week. You actually have to figure out how these pieces fit together. As I always like to say, it's not algebra, it's chemistry. So 1+1 may not equal 2. 1+1 in basketball could equal 3. 1+1 in basketball could equal -2 if they don't mesh together. And so signing Isaiah Thomas without any further kind of roster machinations was a mistake. And then when everyone's upset, what do? You demonize the guys who are upset. Like these guys, you know, the way they talked about Goran Dragic out the door. The way they talked about Isaiah Thomas out the door. Wasn't we messed up? It was not a great situation. We tried, it didn't work. It was, these guys are selfish. These guys are bad. And when you do that, not only do you look foolish when they flourish elsewhere, but you also send out a bat signal to free agents and players all across the league. Hey, if it doesn't work out here, which it doesn't seem to work out, we're going to badmouth you.
Yeah.
And we're going to, so a year ago, about a year and a half ago, Marquise Morris and Marcus Morris were the bells of the ball. These guys are going to be leaders of our organization. These guys are going to be, oh, they're great guys. Oh, we're so glad to have them here on such a great deal. And then, all of a sudden, he's a bad person, and he's a bad apple. We need to get these guys out of here. And you can't keep going through this, because guess what? If I'm a kid like Devin Booker, and I'm looking around, I kind of see a trend, don't I?
Yeah. Well, he's the only guy, if you're starting today, if you're hired today to run this franchise, you're building around Devin Booker, right? I mean, everybody else is tradable here, or is there, no, Brad, I would keep this guy, this guy, this guy.
Right. No. So Devin Booker, I was at building around him, but yeah, he's a keeper. We'll say he's a keeper because, you know, he's got incredible maturity for a player that young. Obviously a great offensive skill set in today's NBA as far as being able to shoot the ball. So then you need to ask, right, who else is a quote-unquote keeper? It gets tough after that. I think there are guys that you'd like to keep, but it all depends on what the deal on the table is. So if there's a Kevin Love deal, they said, but we're going to want Eric Bledsoe. You know, that might be the cost to get it done, or T.J. Warren or whoever. Nothing against those players. It's just, okay, we've got a chance to get someone who's really, really superlative,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, let's say, a lesser deal. You wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to throw in Eric Bledsoe into what seems to be a lateral deal, but I would for someone, again, like Kevin Love.
Well, in the case of Bledsoe, we're talking about three knee surgeries now, and I don't care when people say, well, they're minor knee surgeries. It's only minor when it's not being done on you. We don't know the depth of it, right? And you've got a lot of money tied up in him now. So I'm looking at that with a little bit of a question mark, too, now.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think the Suns, the one strength that they've had throughout the years, regardless of who's in charge, is their medical and training staff.
That's true.
And that's one of the things, when I was there, we would defer to them on that. So in the Shaq deal, when we were acquiring Shaq, everyone said, this is the guy's career is over. He's broken. He'll never be the same again. And our training staff, Aaron Nelson in particular, watch some films and said, oh, no, he's fine. His, you know, this muscle right here isn't firing right, and because of that, he's overcompensating. And he basically diagnosed him. We brought him in, gave him the physical. Same thing with the medical staff. Said, he's fine. He just needs these corrective exercises. And within 2 weeks, he was playing for us, and a year later, he's an all-star. So if the medical staff, and I'm not talking about basketball fit. I know a lot of people say, well, that Shaq deal wasn't that great, but I'm just talking about from a medical standpoint. You look at Eric Bledsoe. If the medical and training staff say he's all right, but this isn't a huge risk, then I'll follow the lead. If they say, look, we need to jump ship, then we need to jump ship. Amari Stoudemire was a guy where our medical staff said, we need to jump ship.
Yep.
We don't know when it's going to happen, but the bottom will fall out and it won't be pretty.
Before you get out of here, so Jeff gets fired, and it's probably a relief for him. We've loved Jeff, known Jeff for 20-plus years here. Now that the Knicks job is open, the Lakers job could come open. I'm looking at the best jobs that are out there. Phoenix is not going to be one of the premier job destination points this coming off season, right? And if that's the case, who makes sense in Phoenix?
Right. So I think when you talk about the premier jobs, and it's counterintuitive, but the two premier jobs are Houston and Minnesota, because they actually have talent. Minnesota in particular, they got young talent. So, you know, whoever comes in there, you're going to ride that wave going up. The next tier is Lakers and Knicks. Not because they have great talent in the roster. The Lakers have some pieces. The Knicks have Porzingis. But because these are flagship franchises, meaning we're going to pay a lot of money for you to be a coach here. And so that puts them a step above everybody else. And then comes Phoenix, Sacramento, if the rumors are true about George Karl being let go. And whoever else. Those are the teams where there's dysfunction. Those are the teams where not necessarily the penchant for paying people premium money. And the rosters, maybe a bright spot here and there, but not exactly, you know, the sort of, oh, this just needs one person to turn this thing around. They need work. And so if you're the Suns, I think, to me, it almost behooves you to be aggressive in your coaching search now. Because if you're waiting for Luke Walton, guess what? Luke Walton has his pick of the litter.
Yep.
If you're waiting for Tom Thibodeau is going to have his pick of the litter. These guys are premium brand name guys, and they have no incentive to jump for a Suns offer. But there are other guys out there who are willing to get in on the mix. And to me, I think about a guy like David Blatt, who really it wasn't a good fit for him in Cleveland because it's such a veteran team, and he was brought in to coach a young team, and it just happened that it didn't work out that way. But this is an opportunity for him to come in, young team, a bunch of guys who really don't have the kind of success or track records to be able to question him like they did in Cleveland, and really start afresh. And to me, being aggressive towards a guy like, to get a guy like that, is a better play than waiting for the offseason and waiting in that line with everybody else.
That's a good point. It's a good point. Hey, I appreciate the time. It was a much more pleasant visit than just bashing on them all. I'm trying to get answers here. I've been doing this for 20 plus years in Phoenix, and it's just as maddening a time as I've ever seen. So thanks for giving some insight.
No problem.
There's Amin Al-Hassan there for a few minutes. ESPN NBA front office insider. Good stuff. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. And now, just 8 days away from the start of spring training, we are very much pleased with that bit of news because the team is going to be good this year with the Diamondbacks. We've gone through a long dry spell. I saw Tom Candiotti last month over at Marley's during the Cardinals' big run. And we're talking about everything that they've done in the offseason, and you get a sense from guys, broadcasters, about if it's going to be a long season or a good season. And Tom's very optimistic, not that he isn't in the past, but I would say much more this year, right, Tom, than the last few years about what you're going to have to work with this season?
Boy, there's no question about it, Brad. I mean, I think there's such a buzz going on this year. You know, I mean, what a great year the Cardinals have had. And you know, and now it kind of flips over to baseball, and I think, you know, when spring training hits like this, you know, you get here in February, March, pitchers and catchers almost here. You know, there's just like an electricity about the team this year, the buzz that's going around. No matter where I go, whether it's golfing or bowling alley, wherever the heck it is, you know, people are always asking about the Diamondbacks. And that wasn't the case like in the years past so much. But this year, definitely a buzz.
They won 79 a year ago. It's probably too early here on February 10th for me to ask you, what do you think? 90 wins, they have that in them. But I'll throw it out there. They're going to be better than 79 wins. I think you and I would both be stunned if that weren't the case. But how much better do you feel like?
Well, I think as you watch this team progress last year, you could definitely see the weakness was starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they went out immediately and addressed that, you know, getting Greinke and also Shelby Miller. But also, you know, Patrick Corbin, you know, kind of the guy that's going under the radar, who was an all-star before he got the Tommy John. And now, you know, he's had half a year to kind of get back into it. So he's had a full offseason to go out and not just rehab, but actually, you know, lift and get in game shape. So I expect like a pretty big year out of him. And here's our guy, Ruby De La Rosa, won 15 games last year. He's your number four pitcher. So when he's down in the number four slot, you know you got a good rotation. So, you know, just having said that, I mean, that's going to give you, you know, another at least 7 or 8 wins just from the starting pitchers alone. So, you know, that jumps it up there to almost the high 80s already.
What is it about Greinke that you like, Tom?
Well, you know, when I watch him, and I've watched him when he's with the Royals, we played them in interleague, and then when he went over to Milwaukee, I didn't see him pitch when he was with the Angels, but obviously with the Dodgers. And to me, you know, in my era through the 80s and 90s, you know, it was, you know, Greg Maddux was the ultimate, you know, carve the guys up, you know, do it real quick, get your ground ball. If you need a strikeout, no doubt he can get a strikeout, but you know, that's not what he tried to do. And I think Greinke is probably the guy in this day and age that probably probably as close to Maddux as anyone that I've seen. Mm. You know, he can command both sides of the plate. You know, he cuts it, he sinks it, he's got a good changeup. He knows how to pitch. You know, he's a student of the game. All the stuff that made Maddux great, I see with Greinke. And, you know, a very simple delivery, you know, like Maddux had. Didn't put a lot of stress on his arm at all. Right. And so he's that type of pitcher. He's not a guy that's going to go out and pitch like Randy Johnson and just blow you away. You know, he's not a guy that's going to go out there and get strikeouts, but he can. He has the ability definitely to do that because he does work ahead in the count almost all the time. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he can not only pitch, you know, but he's got the stuff to be able to dictate the at-bat.
I talked with Tom Candiotti, Diamondback analyst on the radio side. Very good to visit with Tom. Shelby Miller, fill me in on where you are on him coming into spring.
I haven't seen Shelby as much as I've seen Zach Greinke. Mm-hmm. But what I, the little bit that I've seen of Shelby has been, you know, a little bit when he was with the Cardinals, and then last year I think he pitched once, maybe twice, against the D-backs with the Braves. I've never seen him once for sure. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's got a lot of ride on his fastball, a little different than Greinke. You know, he looks to me, it looks like he pitches up in his zone a little bit. His ball's got some ride when he gets a little bit underneath it. And, you know, and he throws strikes. He throws, like, fastball after fastball, it seems like. And he can carve up a lineup just by spotting and locating his fastball. He's young. He's only, 25 years old, I think it is. And it seems like he's been in the big league 7 or 8 years already.
Right.
So, you know, this guy just was really a victim of lack of run support last year. Not even really a good defense really behind him. They had a couple key players, good defenders. But for the most part, when you watch the Braves last year, you know, they just seemed like they were, you know, they were down 1-0, 2-0, you know, every time. And couldn't score any runs. So, you know, you throw the win-loss record out, you know, for starting pitchers, and you look at some of the other indicators, and he's right up there and you know, with the big guys in those.
You know, I'm getting a lot of questions, Tom, from fans. They'll say, okay, what's going to happen with Archie Bradley? And when Dave Stewart the last couple of times has done conference calls and pitching has come up, it came up the other day during the Clipper thing, and we don't hear Archie's name mentioned nearly as much as we heard it a year ago. What's going on there from your view?
Well, when Archie came up last year, I tell you, let's go back to spring training last year. You know, I think it was, you know, somebody in the front office, you know, said he's got a long ways to go. And I think Archie took that to heart, and he went out and had himself a great spring and ended up making the team. And you're going, wow, Archie Bradley, all right. You know, he's taking the next step. You know, he's developing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he was actually, he threw the ball pretty well, you know, until he got to Phil Cargo, hit him with that line drive and, you know, set him back after that. But I think for Archie to get better, he's got to command his fastball. He's not a guy that throws in the mid to upper 90s, what I've seen. He's been more of a guy that's been in the kind of the low 90-ish, 92, which is, you know, plenty hard. But you got to be able to locate pretty good when you're hitting right down there. And you got to be able to throw your off-speed pitches for strikes when you're behind the count. And, you know, to me, that's the next step that he's going to take is his command. You know, not only with the fastball, but also being able to throw a changeup behind the count, the breaking ball, his curveball that he has behind in the count. Now, if he can drop in 2-1 curveballs and 2-0 curveballs, then that's going to make his fastball look about, you know, 3 or 4 miles an hour harder than what it is. So, you know, I think that's going to be a big key for him. And I expect him to, you know, he obviously knows that, you know, the pitching coaches know that, you know, Mike Butcher knows that. And so, you know, I expect that's going to be his next focal point in his development.
Okay. And then on the bullpen side, I get fans that are asking me and sending questions about, okay, so Clippard comes here. I thought he got used an awful lot last year, just from what I've read and just looking at the hard numbers. Ziegler's been the closer. Daniel Hudson is sitting over there on the side. There's a lot of arms here is what I'm getting to, because the rotation looks like Ray and De La Rosa and Corbin and Miller and Greinke. There's your five. Archie, that's not even part of the discussion. I haven't even brought up Josh Colemanter's name. So there's just a lot of arms now, a lot of choices that this organization has.
Yeah, and it also provides competition when you get to spring training and even, you know, competition during the season, which, you know, always makes everybody better. I don't care how many years you have in the major leagues, or if you're a young kid or an older kid, you know, you've got to have somebody pushing you. And I think because of the amount of arms now that Tony and Dave have assembled down there, and they're a little bit different too. You know, you have Ziegler that was just amazing in that, I called it the flex role, where he could come in and get a ground ball double play, whether it was the seventh inning in a key situation, the eighth inning, sometimes even the ninth inning. And then out of necessity, he became the closer because, you know, he was the guy and did a great job in that. So Brad does it no matter what role you put him in, he's able to succeed. And I think with Hudson, you're seeing the same as Corbin, a guy that's come back, got a whole year under his belt now. He's got an electric arm. He throws the ball like 4 miles an hour harder than he did when he was a starter. I mean, he really has a terrific arm. So, you know, he can play down in that bullpen. You know, he's got a power arm, and it's a little bit different than, you know, than what Tyler Clippard. He's more of an over-the-top guy, change up, you know, decent breaking ball. But, you know, pitches up in the zone. You know, Hudson, a little kind of a low three-quarter, gets a lot of run on his ball. So they get different different looks with different guys, and I think what that enables Chip Hale to be able to do is to kind of match him up against certain types of hitters, you know, have that those options to be able to do that.
All right, before I let you go, when you look at the position players, the easy answer here is Goldschmidt. It's the easy one. But who's a player you're really looking forward to seeing in spring training on the position player side? May not even be a starter. Maybe somebody that you think is on the come. But you got a guy?
Yeah, there's a couple guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing. You know, of course, the development of A.J. Pollock, because I think he could be a superstar in this game. You know, with his speed, his power, you know, the way he plays center field, he's just really fun to watch. And besides him, you know, I'm looking towards, you know, Brandon Drury. You know, they saw a little glimpse of him. He's played a little bit of third base, mm-hmm. a little bit of second base, but he has got some serious pop in his bat. And I think it might end up being maybe a platoon situation with him and Jake Lamb. I'm not quite sure how all that stuff's going to play out, but haven't seen that kid play, you know, I don't know, 30 games or whatever it was last year. I mean, he's got a missile in his bat. And so if he can get some consistent playing time, I think he can surprise a lot of people.
Tom, look forward to seeing you next week at Salt River Fields. Thanks for the visit.
That'll be awesome. Look forward to seeing you too, Brad.
Take care. There's Tom Candiotti, one of the good guys in the business. Hey, the team won 79 a year ago, and most of you pounded on me because I said 81, so I was off by two. Deal with it. I haven't, because I keep bringing it up. Sports360AZ.com. We're going to be out at Salt River Fields on some feature stuff, things that we see on some of the behind the scenes with the players that may not be the A-listers. That's what I like about spring training. It'll be easy to put up a Zach Greinke picture and put up some quotes about him. That's low-hanging fruit. The Brandon Drury, that's really interesting to me. That's a guy that he's looking at, because when Segura came over, and, of course, you have Nick Ahmed, and you're looking at now that Aaron Hill's not here any longer, and just the middle part of the infield, what's going to happen there? We're back with more after this timeout. A couple other things that we're working on today. We have a TV show tonight that's on Fox Sports Arizona, of course. The Arizona Ford dealers have been terrific, 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 terrific partners as we continue on with the TV show, and I can't thank Tim Hovick and the people the Arizona Ford dealers enough, because it's been great getting it off the ground and moving forward. And this really is the busiest time of year when you think of football. And we do everything that's going on around Arizona. Eric had a high school basketball story he called me about yesterday, day before yesterday, that he was so passionate about. And it's just, go tell it. Go tell. That's what we do. We don't need to have meetings on how many clicks it's going to get, because if that's the case, we're just going to do the same three guys over and over and over and over and over. And I don't want that. I've never wanted that. And we have to do stuff that's interesting and that we're passionate about here. Telling stories, you've got to be plugged in your community. And that leads me over to Kyle Allen. Look, Eric, you and I have done a lot of Kyle Allen on this show. We've had Kyle Allen in studio. You're close to the Kyle Allen family. So yesterday when I sent you the link to the Dennis Dodd story, and you were out yesterday, but for Kyle Allen to say that it's the Johnny Manziel rise to prominence creating the systemic issues at Texas A&M, talking about the atmosphere around the program is not conducive to success, it's very eye-opening.
Not surprising to me. At all. Okay, just in the things that, I don't know, I was sort of told off the record.
Sure.
There is...
Well, why did you...
There are so many internal issues going on at A&M. And some are very simple to see. I mean, Kyle Allen is the Bowl MVP. He's officially, unofficially named the starter. Someone signs this five-star quarterback.
Kyler Murray.
Whose dad is a legend at Texas A&M.
Right.
Right. Right there, the dumpster fire had sort of started, and then we saw how the ASU game played out, where both the quarterbacks got time, and they yo-yoed back and forth, and that's what we see on the outside. Inside the buildings at A&M, I'm sure it was much worse than anything we saw externally, because the worst thing a big program can do is not keep things in-house and let things get out of the house. And for the most part, they did keep him in the house until the season ended. And then Kyle Allen gone. Kyler Murray gone.
Yep.
You know, Jake Spavadal fired. It's Kevin Sumlin.
Co-offensive coordinator, Jake Spavadal.
Yeah.
So it's...
Eric Hyman leaves, their AD. Their right. Very successful athletic director just resigns. So...
You said out of the house. It turned into an outhouse, so to speak.
Yeah, well said.
There. And I'm not coming down on Kyle Allen about this. He talked to Dennis Dodd. It's clear that Dennis Dodd has forged a relationship with Kyle Allen just based on some of the stuff that Dennis has had over the last year or so, and that's fine. His quote was, "I think the culture was a big part of it, and I think that stems from Johnny's era. The way they let Johnny and others act there, they could do that and still win games because they had Johnny and five offensive linemen playing the NFL right now. A lot of people were writing that off, quote, I can do whatever the hell I want and win on Saturday. Now, is this a quarterback who didn't make it at Texas A&M who's bitter going out the door? I wouldn't say that. I think that when we've had Kyle Allen in here, he's a player of the year here in Arizona, quarterback at Desert Mountain, that he has been someone who's been brash and has made statements, but not Johnny Manziel. He's not close to him. Do I believe there's some of that there? Absolutely. There's that at the high school level. If you've had ongoing success through the years, there's things systemically within a high school culture that should change that probably aren't right. And when things go bad all of a sudden, look at what happens.
And I know the Allen family wants stability. That was the one thing that was harped on over and over again. I mean, Kyle didn't have a lot of success at Desert Mountain from a team standpoint, and then got to A&M, and then they bring in all these different quarterbacks. And I'm sure some things were said to the family that weren't totally true from someone in his staff about playing time and things like that. And that was one of the reasons why he decided to go to Houston.
To launch out. So that story is interesting to me. And we'll see if we'll get Kyle and Christian Kirk back in studio. And it's good for Todd Graham, actually, to have some unrest at Texas A&M. You're trying to get players down there. And Rich Rod, too. Before we get out of here, so there's this bit. Greg Popovich, if you're a sideline reporter, and I've done that gig, you're an ambulance chaser. You're an ambulance chaser for the most part. But this was last night with David Aldridge in the Spurs, or night before last with the Spurs game. This was Greg Popovich. Check this out.
Thanks very much, Pop. Your impressions of the first quarter?
We're behind and they're ahead.
Why is that?
They scored more than we did and we were pretty crappy on defense. It's been fun.
Do you want election results?
Who is it? What is it?
Sanders and Trump.
That was last night. Man, I tell you what, this Trump stuff's really interesting. I'm not.
And by the way, David Aldridge has really learned to handle that well, because when that started with Pop, he was trying so hard to take a chisel and break through that stone. And now he's just basically, wherever this interview goes, this interview is going to go. And let's have a little fun with it.
I think Craig Sager started that too.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. Craig Sager.
Craig Sager really got that going, that ball rolling. But that was fun. All right. Suns tonight just need to lose the Warriors. Keep your streak alive. We want the number one pick here in Phoenix. That's the way it is. And the Coyotes play tonight too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. We have plenty of content up on our website, Sports360AZ.com. We're Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. That's how I describe us, very simply. That we do things a little different, and we have a lot of fun doing it. We're 4 years, a bunch of guys being passionate. When I say a bunch, four of us, just passionate to get after it every day and have a great time. And we've made great strides and grown and grown and grown. And it's great to be partnering with TV stations and newspapers and all that stuff. So thanks for being with us.